Is oil about to break the U.S. economy again? That seems to be what soaring gold prices are actually indicating. While everyone is focused on crude oil being some huge inflationary pressure, a restart of 1973, history shows us time and time again that oil prices, especially a non-economic shock in them, leads to disinflation. And the reason it leads to disinflation is the weak economy that results from that oil price shock. And we just did this 6 months ago. We never got $100 oil that many were predicting, nor did it unleash 1973, quite the opposite. Economic demand fell off sharply, and the world ended last year and began this year, quote unquote, unexpectedly weak, with thorough disinflation in all the consumer price numbers all over the world. Now, many people chalk that up to rate hikes and central bank policies. But now that central banks are going to be cutting rates, so the thinking goes, this time it will lead to inflation unlike last time. Except no, central bank policies don't actually matter. They're a response to what's happening in the general economy. So what does gold's head-scratching run really say about safe haven demand? And how do we really easily connect that to what the evidence shows is in store for the U.S. and global economy after a non-economic oil shock? Well, for one thing, we can say for sure it's not inflation. In fact, when we see safe haven demand, oil price shock, the behavior of interest rates, it actually tells us the exact opposite. Again, an oil price shock is disinflationary, and that appears to be the message from the gold market. But before we get into what all the evidence says and what the evidence actually is, I do want to remind you that Eurodollar University is having its spring sale for a couple more days. You can get the first month of the membership or the daily briefing free on us. Cancel anytime in the first 30 days. No risk to you. We also have special annual rates for both of those, the membership and daily briefing, as well as huge savings on the deep dive analysis, as well as a bundle where you put all three of those together, get our best prices on the deep dive analysis, the daily briefing, and the memberships all in one low-cost package. The information available for you on the spring sale, all the details at our website, eurodollar.university. Gold continues to hit record highs, keeps moving higher and higher and higher, triggering a whole bunch of questions about where is this coming from? Now, the general explanation, or at least maybe the one that's most in popular imagination, is that gold is all about inflation. Therefore, as oil prices are rising and everyone in the mainstream says oil prices are inflationary, that must mean gold is actually corresponding with that inflation risk. But no, we've seen this before. And I've also done several videos recently on how gold is a terrible inflation hedge. Gold does not correspond with inflation pressures one way or another. It is, again, a safe haven demand. And it's that demand is driven in part because of perceptions about what's happening in the global economy in one direction or the other, but also it's driven by perceptions of interest rates. The primary opportunity cost to owning gold is something like a U.S. Treasury. So if the market thinks things are going badly, I want to own gold, but I also think that interest rates on safe haven, other safe havens like U.S. Treasuries are going to go down, I'm going to buy more gold. So gold tells us a lot about the status, or at least the perceptions of the status of the global system, the risk to it, that include also an expectation about interest rates. And we saw this not that long ago. Remember back in 2018 and 2019. Gold prices started to rise in October 2018. And you remember back at that time, Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve, they were all talking about inflation pressures, inflation risks. That's why the Fed was becoming more aggressive and hawkish in its rate hiking policies. Yet gold prices started to go up. And when they did, many people thought, well, that was just confirmation of what Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve was talking about. Not just the Fed, too. Mario Draghi and the ECB had been talking about inflation risks the entire year of 2018. But a whole bunch of financial indicators suggested that no, that wasn't the major risk. In fact, it was the opposite. And that interest rates in 2019 were not going to be going higher like consumer prices. They were going to be going lower like they actually did. And so gold rising in October and November and December of 2018, That was consistent with all of the signals we got for what we call around here in Udall University, the landmine. Essentially, the global economy was heading toward a global pre-COVID recession, which eventually was going to lead to lower interest rates around the world, as again it did. So as far as gold was concerned, higher demand for safe haven as the global recession continued to develop. At the same time, the opportunity cost of gold and of holding gold was going down because interest rates were. So the big surge in gold, especially after May 2019, was not inflation. Global recession risk, along with lower interest rates that go along with global recession risk, leading to more and more piling into the metal. Just recently, we got a couple important signals in the gold market along the same lines. First of all, gold prices soaring really since the end of February and throughout the month of March. And that's not inflation. One indication from the gold market tells us that there is an expectation over lower interest rates. When you look at the spot price or the cash price of gold, and you compare that to the three-month forward rate, that has dropped below the Federal Reserve policy rates in just the last couple weeks here as gold prices have gone way up. As Bloomberg is showing you here, the Federal Reserve policy rate here is the upper bound, but the yield between spot gold and the three-month forward rate is less than the federal funds target, therefore suggesting that the gold market is rising in part because of perceptions of lower interest rates moving ahead. As Bloomberg wrote just yesterday, historically, that only happens on a sustained basis when rates are either low or about to move sharply lower. So gold higher on safe haven demand, but also what's indicated here is that also at the same time, lower opportunity costs for owning that safe haven because interest rates are likely to be going maybe aggressively lower in the near term future. And why would they be moving lower in the future? Well, that's where oil comes in and the real impact of oil prices on the real economy. It's not inflation, at least outside the very short run when oil prices are going up. Eventually, oil prices reach a threshold, an unknowable threshold. Once they cross that, the impact on the general economy is disinflationary, which is not actually a good thing. And as I mentioned, we have any number of historical examples that establish at least this correlation. When oil prices go up, we see disinflation over the months ahead as the economy gets weaker and weaker and weaker. 6 months ago, last summer, OPEC, Saudi Arabia, they cut back on oil supplies. The price surged and WTI got over $90 a barrel. And everybody said, okay, here we come, 1973 all over again. But instead, the U.S. economy, and really the global economy too, Europe was a pretty big disaster, it weakened at the end of last year, leading to even more disinflation. And you can see this in a number of ways, and that's what we want to do here is go through the evidence in all of these various oil price shocks, and what you can see exactly what they did to the U.S. economy each time. We'll focus on the U.S. here. You see, it wasn't just 2023, it wasn't just last year. We saw the same type of behavior back in 2022, believe it or not. When the oil price surged in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, that didn't lead to the great inflation too, as many people were predicting. It actually did the opposite. It led us on the discourse toward disinflation. And the impact in the U.S. economy was felt immediately. First of all, you can see it in the PCE deflator, which actually just follows along oil prices because oil is the heaviest marginal input on the deflator. But you also see it in the core PCE deflator. But essentially, you don't see the spillover impact or second and third order impact from an oil price shock moving through other prices in the consumer price bucket. And the immediate aftermath of the oil price spike, consumer price pressures actually begin to diminish. And one reason they do, and we can see this in U.S. retail sales, is that it weakens demand. So U.S. retail sales begin to soften as oil prices cross that threshold and become too much. And of course, retail sales include spending on gasoline in them, but it doesn't matter if you use overall retail sales or retail sales excluding those sales recorded by gasoline stations. The picture that emerges is consistently the same. Oil prices surge, they go way up. It leads to a temporary rise in consumer price numbers, but it doesn't lead to a consistent and ongoing rise in consumer prices, which you see in the core rate. In fact, We get the disinflation after the oil price shock because of generally weak demand, which shows up in the form, just one form, in terms of consumer spending. We have less money to spend, so we end up spending less money. Now, while these statistics don't conclusively prove that the oil price spike causes the weakness in the general economy, in fact, when you look back through history, there's usually a number of different causes. What is strongly indicated is that the oil price spike combines with other factors to lead to these negative outcomes. But it does show, at the very least, in fact, I would say it proves that the spike in oil prices, especially because they come from non-economic factors, does not lead to inflation, just the opposite. So at least that part is established, firmly established. And what happened in 1973 was that an oil price shock combined with the genuine inflation, out of control money and credit creation, to lead to what many people mistake as just the oil price shock of 1973. So without the genuine inflation that we don't have in the current era, then we're just left with the effects of the oil price shock, which we've seen repeatedly. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, many people will say, well, 2022 as well as 2023, that's because the Fed was hiking rates and aggressively hiking interest rates. Therefore, that's what killed demand. It wasn't the oil price shock. It was the Fed. And now that the Fed is going to be cutting rates and oil prices are going up, that's going to lead to the inflationary spiral. But we have other examples where the Federal Reserve is not really involved at all, where the oil price surge, actually a couple oil price surges, lead to disinflation. And in these prior examples, the disinflation came about even as the Federal Reserve and ECB and other central banks were being, in their view, highly accommodative. The first example is 2011 and 2012. In 2011 and 2012, that was a supply shock too. And oil prices surged well above $100 per barrel by the early months of 2011. Many people attributed that to QE2 and money printing and all of that stuff, but it was really just a supply shock and it impacted the oil market. And it got to the point where oil prices were becoming a negative contribution on everything, including consumer prices. So during this entire period, 2010, 2011, 2012, the Federal Reserve, highly accommodative, at least according to their view. We got QEs, we got zero interest rates. The only central bank that wasn't doing that was the ECB, which had two rate hikes in April and July of 2011. But that was just a couple rate hikes and it only moved rates up 50 basis points. Hardly the kind of thing that would lead to the results that we're going to see here. So we see the PCE deflator in the United States, again, we're focusing on the U.S., which follows crude oil through both price shocks. The first one in early 2011, and then the second one, which followed later in 2011 and early 2012. But then you flip over to the core PCE deflator, and that is a pretty clear example of exactly what we're talking here. We've got the supply shock effect on other prices in January through May 2011, pushing prices up, including core prices. But then core prices begin to soften. And then they go up again at the end of 2011, then they soften again in the wake of the second oil price shock in 2012. The impact on retail sales is even clearer. Those begin to soften by the middle of 2011, and then they slow down again early in 2012 with big declines in April, May, and June. In fact, it was the big declines in retail sales in response, or at least in the aftermath of the second oil price shock, that led to the Fed doing QEs 3 and 4, weakness in the general economy. Now, we're not saying that the oil price shock caused all of that weakness, but what's indicated is that at the very least, those oil shocks contributed at least something to the weakening in the general economy, not just in the U.S., but around the rest of the world. And of course, the other example that we find is 2008, the massive oil price shock in the first half of 2008, which many people thought was going to be the bigger problem for that year and the years after than the banking and monetary crisis that was erupting the entire time. Again, we're not saying here that the 2008 oil price shock caused the great quote-unquote recession. Well, what's indicated is that it, at the very least, it contributed something to it. But more than that, it did not lead to a repeat of the 1970s. Now, while there are other reasons for weakness in demand besides oil prices were not nearly enough to overcome what actually became a deflationary shock in the general economy. So you see, again, the same type of thing. Oil prices surge, consumer price numbers go up with oil prices in the short run, but over the long run, it's the rest of the economic factors that really take over. And again, there is some indication that oil prices did contribute to the Great Recession, especially in the summer of 2008, before the big eruption in September and October. So July, especially August, and in the early part of September, the growing weakness in the global system may have been in large part because of the previous behavior of oil prices, the previous spike in oil prices. Weight of the evidence shows and strongly indicates that economies experience disinflationary problems having suffered that oil price surge. And this is something that, historically speaking, had plagued the U.S. and global economy for many business cycles. In fact, Ben Bernanke published a paper in 1997 actually seeking to give the Federal Reserve more credit in provoking recessions because they wanted the Fed's rate hikes, or at least their tightening policy, they're conflating them with rate hikes. They wanted them to make them seem like they were more than they actually were, because that's what Ben Bernanke did. But what they found is that it seemed to be oil prices. Whenever we had an oil price rise, that seemed to be the consistent, at least correlation with recessions. As they wrote in 1997, in the view of many economists, oil price shocks are perhaps the leading alternative to monetary policy. They're the only alternative, as the key factor in post-war U.S. recessions. Increases in oil prices preceded the recessions of 73, 75, 80, 82, and 1990, 91. And James Hamilton presents evidence that increases in oil prices led declines in output before 1972 as well. So the correlation is there. Oil price shocks, recessions, disinflation. And the current oil price shock that we're experiencing, non-economic in nature, same thing. It indicates and points toward economic weakness in the near-term future ahead, as well as a softening in consumer prices once oil prices get done rising. And the reason they'll get done rising is because the higher they go, the more demand is going to be destroyed, and the more likely it's going to be destroyed. So as demand gets destroyed, the economy slows down and maybe falls into recession. At the same time, of course, this time, unlike the last time, the economy is actually weaker than it was last year or in 2022. So maybe this oil price shock produces even more demand destruction than the last couple that we've seen. And if it does, what would that mean as far as interest rates? Well, interest rates would be more likely to head a lot lower, which is consistent with a whole bunch of things, including what we're seeing in the gold market. So safe haven demand in gold isn't about inflation. It seems to be more about recognition of this economic risk as well as lower interest rates. Potential for interest rates to go lower at the same time the economy maybe falls into a recession. That's the big risk. Gold prices are soaring. Not only is it consistent with history, it actually makes sense, unlike, say, a repeat of 1973. And it doesn't really matter about what the Federal Reserve is doing. This is all like 2019 about what the Federal Reserve will be doing. We already have a huge disagreement about what shape the U.S. economy is in already today, and that's best pictured in the labor market numbers, which we just went through in the video link below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Check out Eurodollar University Spring Sale while it's still there. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and subscribers. And until next time, take care.